Good evening, this is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My returning guest tonight, and it's always a real pleasure to talk to him, is Jarrett J. Krasaska. New York Times best-selling author, he's an artist, teacher, audiobook voice, and we're going to talk about everything that he has going on at this moment, which is considerable. Jarrett, it is always a pleasure to have you back on the show.
You know, I miss seeing you in real life, but I'll
see
your voice.
But we're going through a COVID thing here. So, nobody's invited. Nobody's invited. and even you, I think, have the distinct honor of being the person who's been most interviewed on Inquiry.
Starting with my first book in 2001, yep. I bet. Absolutely.
There's so much to talk about. And I want to say that if you want, this is going to go by so fast. Go to his website, which is, Jarrett?
StudioJJK.com.
And it's also on the blurb describing this show, so you'll have quality.
Oh, I see.
And, you know, I think we'd have the same problems because we'd have to go over a line. Anyways, I want to talk about Lunch Lady, okay? There are so many things going on with Lunch Lady, it's like frightening. So, first of all, the books themselves have been reissued.
Yes.
Talk about that.
Full color. So, you know, when I first pitched a graphic novel series to my publisher, to give you historical context on how long ago it was, I wrote about it on my MySpace blog.
Oh my God!
It was like mid-2000s, the children's publishers were not publishing graphic novels, and my publisher had no idea what to do with it. Right, so they had a year before they said, okay,
oh my God,
we'll print the books in limited color because they didn't think there'd be a market for graphic novels, and they didn't want to invest all the money in the production, right? Full color.
And all of them are eating their words as we speak.
They sure are. They sure are. Right? And it was around the mid-'00s when all of the major children's publishers kind of dipped their toes in graphic novels.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's why Lunch Lady was initially published in just black and yellow. And so that worked
because of Lunch Lady's apron was
yellow.
That,
you know what?
Yeah, it was her signature color.
That became the signature color, and it was based off of the yellow from a dishwashing rubber glove.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so from 2009 to 2013, I was putting out like two Lunch Lady books a year, and I made 10 of them, and you know, I had this real, there's a real sort of cross fork in the road, right, where I said, well, I could keep making Lunch Lady books for the rest of my life. I would be successful, but I wouldn't be happy, you know. And I had all of these other creative ideas I wanted to do.
You want to rule the young people's book world. I know it.
Well, I wanted to, you know, I wanted to write a memoir, and then
I know. You had a lot of other things. Well, you know, let me ask you. Can we just digress for a second, Jarrett? Because you have so many projects. Do you often get the feeling after you've followed one project through a certain amount of time, like, I really just got to stop this and then move on to something else? Because it seems like you're always developing a new project.
Well, that's kind of what it was with Lunch Lady, right? So I said, I'm going to stop making these books because I made 10, I'm happy with them, and I'm not being creatively fulfilled if I continue. I won't be creatively fulfilled if I continue to make them. It's like the whole thought of, like, well, let's leave the party before the host starts washing the dishes, right? And so I said, if it was meant to be, I'll come back to it. And what happened was the books performed better and better year after year for the publisher.
It was interesting to watch that through your website, too, because it was like almost I interviewed you when Lunch Lady started. And I remember, you know, it was like, OK, and then you were just done with it. And then all of a sudden it's like it caught on or something. And it became a phenomena in and of itself.
Well, I mean, obviously, thankful to the Lunch Ladies, but it's the school librarians and the independent booksellers who would get them into the next generation of kids' hands. And so it was about a year before the pandemic hit that my publisher said, they got back in touch with me because I hey kiddo, and Jedi Academy were with a different publisher. And they said, would you be interested in revisiting this world and having it be full color, hardcover books? We would change the trim size so they're going to be taller. The books will be longer. They'll be twice in length. So what we'll do is we'll do two books in one. And that will lead up to what I'm doing, which is writing new adventures for the new format.
They look great. It really came off. They really, really look sharp. Yeah. And as you mentioned, the great thing is there's two complete Lunch Lady stories to a book. And I'll tell you, the color makes all the difference. It's a whole different experience.
And I'm kind of, you know, I'm really glad that we started with just the limited color, because like you said, like we had that signature color, right?
Yeah.
So that yellow kind of became synonymous with the character. And so look, like I was revisiting this series at the height of the start of the pandemic when, you know, no one was sleeping. We were terrified of everything. And now, I mean, we're still terrified. It's just baseline now. But revisiting the world was like comfort food. You know, I have three kids.
I totally get that.
Yeah, I have three kids. When I made those first two books, I had no kids. You know, so
wow,
it was really. And I also, I'll tell you what, Mark, I got to revisit and like, you know, just like call myself out on language that I was using.
Right.
That kind of felt okay then, and I now understand a better inclusive way.
Isn't that interesting? Because that's true for a lot of people, not just in young people's books, but in older books too. And other things that you review, just the last 15 years has really changed a lot of attitudes about different things.
And that, you know, social responsibility I have, but then also my like, wow, I have this opportunity to go back and redraw some things I never was happy with.
Oh, wow. Whoa. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Like, so for instance, like, you know, when you always want to have the action going from left to right.
Yeah, I know.
So that your eye flows with the art as it does with how you're reading.
Yeah.
And I switched those a couple of times because I did have to redraw things to fit the new format.
Oh, wow.
So I took that as an opportunity to be like, it's a rare chance you get to redo something that's already published.
Oh, wow. Now we got to move right along, Jared. If that wasn't enough, there are now audiobooks. And the audiobooks are aces. Talk to me about the audiobooks.
I'm so proud of the audiobooks. Like
you should be.
Love.
I was just listening to them before we talked.
I've loved producing audiobooks. I might like making audiobooks as much as I like making print books.
Shut your mouth.
Yeah. Well, I have to continue to make print books in order to make more audiobooks, right?
That's right.
You know, I've never really been one to be passive. If my stuff's going to be adapted to another format, like obviously, like let the people who know that whatever that other media is to take the lead. But I went in there with Random House Audio, which was different from Scholastic Audio. You know, with Hey Kiddo, it was a whole different thing, making that into an audiobook because it's about my life. It's intensely personal.
Yeah. Oh,
I got the real people to be in it, you know. And I kind of like, here's my strategy. I think we should get a name comedian for Lunch Lady.
And you did.
Seasoned audiobook performers for the adults, but real kids for the kid characters.
Yep.
And immediately, the response was like, but we could get adults voicing the kids.
Yeah.
And I said, and it would suck.
Yep, it would.
And my argument was like, you know, why did you love Charlie Brown Special so much? It's because Charles Schulz got kid characters.
That's right. Now tell me, you got to tell me, you've got to talk about who voices Lunch Lady.
Oh my gosh. Meredith from The Office, Kate Flannery. a dream come true.
First of all, her voice is immediately recognizable.
Oh my gosh. And so perfect for Lunch Lady.
Oh yeah.
So perfect.
Did you get to talk to her?
Oh, like, yeah, we've become pals. Like, so I pretty much, even though like I wasn't credited as co-director or anything like that, I sat in on majority of the recording sessions, which, you know, all happened via Zoom now. And so Kate was over in a studio in LA, and I was just on my back porch in shorts, just like in a t-shirt in the middle of the summer, just out of my mind, hearing like this. Imagine having a voice in your head for 21 years and now it's coming out of someone else's mouth, right? And she's great. I've gotten to meet her. She's so sweet. She's
but
so
you know,
down to earth.
For me, some of the other adult voices are immediately recognizable too. I'm not sure where I've heard them before.
Audio. I mean, they're all like top notch audiobook
absolutely.
Narrators.
They are, and they got into it. You can tell when somebody's into something.
Yeah,
they're into it.
And because that's what you have to do with a graphic novel is, I mean, they're like radio plays. You get a different actor for each part, and it's not like everyone's there at the same time. We're recording all these voices separately, and then, I mean, look, like all love and props to the audio engineer and editors who piece this together to make it feel like you feel like you're there.
You really do. And this, so this just expands that whole thing into a different level. When you sit there with headphones on and you're listening to that, and I can, again, I can tell you, cause I was just doing that. It was amazing. It was now the next step would be a film.
Well, you know, let's talk about the fickleness of Hollywood. So I've had 9 options over the years, right? Everything from DreamWorks to, so like my first project was at DreamWorks. And it was Punk Farm, and they... And
I remember
they,
that. I remember
yeah,
that.
I was so excited. I was like, this is for sure going to
happen. You were walking on air.
Yeah, I was. And then and they said... And it fell apart, and they said, you know what? We had some talking animal movies not do so well, so we're going to drop this project. And now Lunch Lady was at Sony. It was at Universal, and it was at Nickelodeon. I was writing scripts for Nickelodeon. And they said, you know, right now we're going to focus exclusively on talking animal properties.
Oh, my God.
So we're
going to
drop Lunch Lady.
Oh, my God.
So, I mean, all that being said, I do have some things brewing with that, even though I'm jaded after like 16 years of being Charlie Brown trying to kick the football, like I feel pretty confident about this one, but you know,
you jinx it.
You can't, like, you know, it's the kind of thing where, it always seems like a no brainer. But, like, you know,
yeah, but you know,
so
and I'll tell you the truth. I'll tell you the truth, Jared. You know, because I interview so many people in the nonfiction, and I actually do some fiction too. So many people that I know whose films have been optioned and they had the same thing happen to them. As a matter of fact, almost to a person. It's like they're all excited. They're going to go for the meetings and blah, 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 blah. And then it's like, ba-doom. I think that's because what they do is, don't they just option like a billion things and then they pick two?
Yeah, I mean, really, you know, and especially with streaming, there's so much being optioned. But,
first of all, you've done the publicity already because you were just on Good Morning America.
I was on Good Morning America with the School Lunch Hero Day initiative that I created. Yeah,
I actually watched that.
It was wild.
It was wild. So you've already done the publicity. So what's the problem with the film? You can quote me to that. Give me my quote. What's up? What's up, man?
I'm so fortunate that I was friends with Norton Juster, and he passed away a year ago or so now.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And we had a meal. We were sitting down at our local Chinese food restaurant, and we were just talking about film adaptations. And when he was a young man, Phantom Tollbooth was optioned by the same team that made The Wizard of Oz.
No.
And imagine how he felt. Like, this is going to, he moved from New York City. He moved his family out to Western Massachusetts.
Oh, my God.
And then it fell apart. And I'm like, oh, that sounds familiar. Like,
I moved
from Boston to Western Mass. And then they're like, yeah, we're not going to make the movie. So there are so many stories of wonderful things that didn't happen. So it's like, if you ever see a movie and you like it, you just have to realize how many stars had to align for that to happen.
It's really, really true. I want to keep making sure that we're talking about this. You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. My returning guest tonight, always a pleasure to talk with him, Jared J. Krasoska, JJK. New York Times best-selling author, artist, teacher, audiobook voice artist. And we're talking about everything. Hopefully we're going to get most of the stuff in that he is going on right now. Hey, one of the things that was really impressive to me was when the pandemic hit, and I knew your initial reaction and your family's, as was everybody's, was real fright and panic. But one of the things you started to do to work around that was to do online classes.
Yeah.
And that seemed like it was a really successful thing.
You know, my last in-person event, you know, first half of March of 2020 was, surely, like, they'll tell me when I shouldn't be doing this, right? Like, I'm doing my book tour stuff. Like, no one quite knew what's what. And my last in-person event was in Pittsburgh, and my hotel was across the street from Mr. Rogers' television studio.
Oh, wow.
And to look at, like, that front door and be like, that man walked in that room, through that door every day and made that show. And my brain was spinning because, of course, I watched through my email every single speaking gig fall like dominoes. And
I know,
you know,
for people like yourself who were so into in-school visits, so how soon did you get to start to think, how can I turn this around?
Well, I mean, like you said, like, I mean, it, you know, it's not, those aren't just promotional tours. Like it puts food on my table because right. I get speaking payments for it. And yeah, like I was like, suddenly am I going to lose everything I've worked up for? You know, I was getting myself to the point where I would have 1,000 people turn up to see me speak. And it's like everything I worked for, I got there, and then the house of cards tumbled down, and I had to figure out how to wow. rebuild. And so my New Year's resolution for 2020, and it sounds so ominous now, but January 2020, I said, I want to do more webcasting this year. And I do that. I make one achievable goal, right? So it's not even a New Year's resolution. It's like one professional goal. And I said, okay, I have this little room in the basement. I'm going to clean out a corner, and that's going to be where I record my webcasting.
Now, how comfortable were you doing webcasts at that point?
Very comfortable. Like,
because you've already been doing it before. You've been doing virtual school visits from before that, right?
Since like 2010.
Yeah.
Like I've like a decade's worth of experience doing this kind of stuff. So you know, I get home from that event on a Friday from Pittsburgh. We picked up my kids from school. You know, that first Monday was the first day of no school, and I went live on YouTube, Draw Every Day with JJK, and I said, I'm going to help keep your kids occupied
yep.
at this time
that
every
was
day
brilliant.
For the 2 weeks.
It was brilliant.
It was
brilliant.
2 weeks. 2 weeks would be done.
not so fast.
I went live every day, every weekday for 4 months.
Wow.
And then that became YouTube drawing lessons intermittently, but then it became private lessons over Zoom. And you know, the listeners may know this, but you know, I took comics classes with you, Mark, and yeah, like you were always, you know, Peter Pan's Our Lost Boys.
That's right.
You know, and it's wild because I've created that same community over Zoom, but like this kid is in Seattle. This kid's in
Isn't that amazing?
Chicago.
It's incredible.
Hawaii.
Yeah.
All over. I had one student. I mean, like they hate missing class. He was in Hawaii touring volcanoes. And he stopped and did the class over, like, on his phone, on his mom's phone, at a volcano.
Oh, wow.
I had another student whose family went to France on vacation, did it from France. Like, whatever the time difference was.
Wow.
He was like, I'm not going to miss it.
Now, the incredible thing is you're also offering classes for adults.
I the adult classes were really popular that first pandemic winter, and then it kind of piddled. And I can get it because, you know, we're in this weird place where there's a lot still online, but we still have to get to places.
Yeah, I know.
And as a parent, you know, I always feel like I'm 10 minutes late to everything in life.
Well, I know. I mean, first of all, having three young people in your life is a major occupation in and of itself. But then to try to do this on top of that, scheduling is going to be a nightmare.
It's been a lot, you know. It's been two years and 2 months of constant pivoting, right? Because there's the obvious pivot in the beginning of everything has to be online, but then gauging what's online and what's in person, and how do I make my online stuff meet the current demand?
Yeah.
So now I'm realizing after all this time, I think, you know, the 8-week course where we meet once a week, like that'll do great in winter. And right now I'm developing a program where there's an app. And you sign up for the app, and the kids can share their art via the app, and
right.
then we'll have like a monthly Zoom. So just trying to meet sort of people where they're at.
I love seeing their artwork that they've done through your instructions. That's really special to me.
And I think that I have another friend who did a similar set of art lessons, and I think it's going to be a long time before we can wrap our brain about what all of that was for us and for everyone.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I mean, it's still ongoing.
Still ongoing. It's like I'm making tutorials on TikTok and on YouTube and video. What's wild is people can't believe that I'm making video. And I was like, this is no different from what I was doing when I was 14, except I used to do it on a camcorder.
That's right.
And I've just always loved video. You know, I would take animation classes with you. I'd make little skits with my friends.
That's right.
And the video has been a saving grace. You know, it's been a saving grace for book sales and getting myself out there and putting that food on the table for the family.
We got to make sure we have minutes left, and I got to make sure that I want to talk about a couple of other things. Now, your next graphic memoir is going to be called Sunshine.
Yeah, Sunshine, how one camp taught me about life, death, and hope.
And that's about you. I want you to plug it now, even though it's not coming out till next year.
Yeah, it's about my time working with children with cancer at a camp. I went when I was 16, when I was a senior in high school. And it was actually initially a chapter in Hey Kiddo. And it was this chapter that became so unruly that my editor said, this is a whole other story. If there's ever to be a second memoir, it's this one. So one would be able to read Hey Kiddo up until, I don't know, say page 240. I don't know the exact page. And there's one page that talks about working at camp. You could stop and read the duration, like all of this 240-page other book, and then come back and read the last chapter of Hey Kiddo. And that book has been delayed not because of the supply chain demand, but because of my own mental health, you know.
That's interesting because there's on your website, there's a thing called Head Trip, the emotional toll of making a graphic memoir.
It's going to be a podcast. So I recorded audio diaries through the duration of making Hey Kiddo.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, I just gave very honest, confessional audio recordings, not knowing what I would do with it. But I'll release that probably leading up to the release of Sunshine, right? So I have it there as a placeholder. And memoir is, it takes an emotional toll.
It has to, because you're taking everything that was internal in you and putting it in front of your face.
Constantly, every day. And on top of that, there is this global pandemic and there's an insurrection and we had a puppy die and like all this other stuff. And also, I'm grateful that my publisher was so gracious because this Sunshine was supposed to be published like last year.
Yeah.
That I really want to do right by the memories of these kids I took care of. And last year was no time to try to get traction for a new book, you know, even this year, near impossible. So spring 23, I think it'll be a little bit easier to be able to get traction for a new book. Because it's not like it's a series where if I don't catch him with Lunch Lady 7, I'll get him with Lunch Lady 8. Like, no, this is my one time to tell this story. And it's intense. Like it's an intense.
Well, for anybody who's read the book, even if they don't know you, that's an intense story.
It's an intense story. It's children with cancer. Like
that's right.
But like Hey Kiddo, you'll laugh on one page and you'll cry on the like you'll turn the page and cry. And
you'll laugh. You'll cry. It's all there.
All of it. You'll wet your pants.
That's right. Yeah, I have to believe that was one of those experiences that was emotionally draining and threw up all sorts of problems, I'm sure, at the time in your head, but having gone through that, you're a much better person. So,
thank you. I wouldn't be who I was if it weren't for my time working at that camp.
Totally
no
get. Hey, Jay, we got we have minutes left. I want to quickly ask you, Jedi Academy, is anything happening?
I did 6 books. The last book was published right as the pandemic started.
that seems to be the dividing line in a lot of things.
I know, right? I mean, I had a blast with those books, but ultimately, you know, I don't want to spend my whole life working with other people.
Okay, so that's a done deal.
It's a done deal. Yeah, I was only supposed to do 3, and I stayed on for 6, and I had a blast with them. And you know, like when I think about working for other IP, I think of like it would have to be like something like Batman or Spider-Man, like a character that I really, really love.
Whoa!
But I also have another series that I can't even tell you much about. You know, gonna also delayed because
another graphic series.
Another graphic series for kids on the older spectrum of Lunch Lady readers.
Yeah.
That one's it's like a love letter to comics.
Whoa!
I'll tell you about it when we stop recording.
Oh, whoa! Okay. And will you ever go back to doing younger people's large format books?
You know, I haven't had a new picture book in several years.
I know.
Gina, my wife, and I are working through some picture book ideas, and that has sort of rekindled my enthusiasm.
So there would be a co-project with Gina?
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that idea. I think that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, and so... Yeah, I'm excited about it, and she's as is she, you know.
Because I know you must always want to come up with new projects, but your projects are so involving. It's like sunshine. It takes place, you know, getting it out there for everybody. People don't understand. It takes sometimes years.
It takes sometimes years, and you know, a big part of, you know, like, I know we don't have much time left, but like when I think back on everything, right? I graduated from high school after having a really traumatic childhood. Started submitting my work to publishers my junior year of college, got published right out of school, and then spent the next 19, 20 years constantly moving and publishing books,
yep.
Ending with this book that's about all the trauma, and then getting an audiobook with the people, some who created that trauma, to voice themselves, and then everything shuts down and I have to sit still.
Well, that's good for you, though.
Yes, it was so good for me. And then you think, and you're like, wait.
So thank God for COVID.
I was like, wait, was my entire career a trauma response?
Whoa. We have to go. My returning guest tonight, and always a pleasure to talk with, is Jarrett J. Krasoska, JJK, New York Times bestselling author, artist, teacher, that's the thing I love the most, audiobook voice, and we've been talking about everything that's going on, especially with Lunch Lady. Please visit his website, which is
studiojjk.com. Wait, now Mark, if I've been on your show 21 years now, that means this interview, like, can legally drink 21 years of me being on your show.
And it can vote too.
Good God.
Jared, it's been a pleasure.
Always has been.
You're listening to WISN 9.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. Good night.